Father, we just thank you that we can come together today. We give you praise and honor and glory, Lord, to you. For we know, Lord, that in you we are more than conquerors. Lord, in you, Lord, we have everything that we need, we shall not want. And we just come to you, Lord, praising you and thanking you in this new year. Lord, knowing that, you are going to guide us. You are going to show us new things, Lord. And you are going to enable us, Lord, to achieve more of your purposes. And we praise you and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Let me see the light. Good. Okay. Well, Happy New Year to everybody. Wishing you a good year. And the important thing in the new year that you are going to, you know, commit to follow the Lord's ideas and not our own ideas. Follow His direction. Because He knows better than we do what we should do. We have to learn to listen. We have to learn to walk with Him. And that is the key. It's not just an experience once. With God is what happens every day. What we, as we follow Him, moment by moment. Because the past is past, is what is taking place now that counts. It's now where we make the difference. We have to understand that when we are connected with Him and get His direction, He tells us what to do now and prepare us for what is coming. Okay. We saw, you know, for example, how to, you know, important is to follow Jesus' instructions for us, okay? And to know how to apply those instructions, to put them to work in our life. You know, Jesus, you know, last week we shared the secret that really, the secret advantage that we have. We often, we forget, okay? The secret advantage is that this better to have the Holy Spirit with us today than to have Jesus personally here. Because He is the one that is going to guide us, because, you know, Jesus Himself said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, is to your advantage, is to our advantage what He has done. The fact that He goes, has gone away, but because if He didn't go away, He could not send the Holy Spirit. But if we, when He departed, He has done that, and this is achieved, is something that is accomplished and is finished, and we had to take advantage of it. The Helper is come, and we had to understand that He makes the difference. But often, you know, we have funny ideas about the way He's going to work. We had to understand, really, the way He mostly do the work. And often we take care of stuff that our flesh like instead of what God like. That is our natural inclination, because we are too connected with the physical things and not enough connected with what God is and does. And the way He works. Okay? We need to understand that. And one of the things that He does through the Holy Spirit is to talk to us. We have to start recognizing His voice. Okay? Because Jesus Himself, you know, is not something with God, is ongoing process. It's not just something that happened in the past. Oh, yes, you know, I've been saved. That was the beginning. It's what happens moment by moment in our walk that makes the difference. That is where things develop and change and grow. Jesus Himself, after being 3 years with the disciples, you know, He said He's still You know, I still have many things to say to you. And that applies to us 100%. You know, he still has, no matter how much we've been with the Lord, how many years we've been with the Lord, you know, we can always get new things. We should always get new things. Because God is so much more than we are. And so there are things we can learn. But you see, the reason why it's a progressive thing is because of what Jesus said, you cannot bear them now. See, we try to do things and quickly and, you know, thinking that that's the way it's going to produce result. It's not the quickness that does it, it's the continuation, it's the ongoing process that makes the difference. Okay. So we had to, you see, the word bear, okay, it's not a bear, it's a, you know, the meaning is, you know, to tolerate, to comprehend, to grasp what he wants to tell us. If we cannot tolerate, comprehend, or grasp the things that he's communicating to us, they just pass over us and we get nothing. We can only get spiritually the things we are ready to receive. That means we have the experience and the changes that prepare us to get those with the things we receive. Otherwise, you know, you can see that in any area, not just spiritually, but spiritually is also one that is more, you know, quite evident. You know, for example, in any area, in education, you know, studying, for example, math, you know, if I come to you and I start talking about advanced math, very few would understand what I'm talking about. Because why? Because they don't have the training, the experience, the understanding about those things. And so it becomes just nothing. It doesn't touch them. The same thing is true spiritually. If you don't have the understanding to be able to receive certain things, you are not going, no matter what, how clear and how evident and what right the things I'm going to tell you, it's not going to produce anything. See, we have to be ready to be able to receive. And this is why God has established the right way of school for us, the right way of teaching. He said, we have a tutor that is with us, the helper, to be able to tell us the things that we need to understand at the time we are ready to understand. He's not trying to tell you the other things. Sometimes we get so caught up in things and want to go ahead of him. We don't get anywhere because we don't understand what we are doing. Are you following me? This is important for us to understand, because otherwise what ends up is we are trying to go after in our zeal maybe things and get nowhere. We just get the deception of thinking that we're getting somewhere because we mentally can repeat certain things, but we don't grasp what we're really talking about. This is why, you know, it's not something that people can do. It's something that we had to receive at the right time. As God has prepared, has been working with us. And as we work with us, you know, it's not a mental understanding, it's a spiritual understanding that we need. See, the natural man cannot perceive or understand spiritual things. And our mind has to be trained, has to be experiencing, has to be receiving revelation and understanding that only comes from the Holy Spirit. Doesn't come just by education. It's not a mind thing, it's a spiritual thing. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Praise the Lord. So, this is why there are many things he has to tell us, but we are ready just to hear some things. And we have to understand that. And we have to be what? Patient. Patience is a spiritual thing. spiritual gift. And we have to understand that. Reality, we have to understand we are a work in progress. Praise the Lord. And the helper is coming to help us just in that. Okay. Praise the Lord. Really, Jesus in the Last Supper with the disciples really talked quite a bit about these things and give us the instruction that we need to understand. We have to really focus on those things, I believe. See, the difference is that he was dealing with spiritual things. And often what Jesus said may appear simple superficially, but actually isn't. And one of the things he chose to do was not to actually talk straight, but to use parables. And the thing with parables is that they are kind of a symbolic type of representing the truth. And what you're going to get is only the things that you are ready to hear, because the other things are going to just be, you are not going to be able to grasp. And he made that choice. So he could have chosen to be just completely logical and explain things like, for example, Paul did later on. But he didn't. And he knew what he was doing. Okay, he knew what he was doing. He knew, he understood the way God works in developing, in enabling us to grow in understanding and in grasping things. Okay, and this is what really the Holy Spirit function is. It's not to, make you feel good. Today, much Christianity is about feeling good. That is absolutely not the priorities from God's point of view. There are many things you read in the Bible that sometimes don't make you feel that good, because your flesh doesn't like them. Okay. But that, God knows what he's doing better than you know what you need. Okay, he knows exactly what is going to be good for you. It's the same thing. Sometimes, we don't like to eat certain things because they don't, we rather have something else that tastes better, sugary stuff, and get sick from it. Okay, instead of really listening what we need to... Somebody wants to communicate something here. Bong! What happened? Anyway, praise the Lord. It's the dramatic effect, See, somebody's telling us we need to listen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so, see, that's why the Holy Spirit is sent to us to do what? To guide us into all truth. Not just some. To continue. That just the whole truth doesn't come all at the same time. The whole things add up continuously. Build up. Develop. Okay. Within us. Okay. And he's going to, the interesting thing is that, what he's going to tell us is important. Jesus said it very clearly. He will not speak on his own. The authority part is just been added to the scriptures. Okay? Won't be telling you things that you are that are different from other things in the Bible. The Holy Spirit will tell you new things, as people say today, so that they create new doctrines that aren't there in the Bible, and they are not true. But this is common thing today. that is taught. That's not the truth. God doesn't change. Everything he said it even before, and he's going to be consistent. If you get new ideas that contradict what the Word says, just reject them. Know that they're not the truth. But, you know, sometimes we need to know the Bible before to be able to discern that. Because something sounds good, but the fact that it sounds good is because our flesh likes to hear them, but they're not good. It's not everything that feels good is good. Sometimes things need to wake us up, and we have to understand them. So, what the Holy Spirit is going to show us is everything that is already in the Word. And if it's not there, he is going to be able to show you the actual meaning of the things so that you can grasp better what the words actually mean. Okay? And so, you know, when we hear things, when we are teaching, when we are whatever do, you know, we have to examine everything that we receive according to the Word, not according to the degree of success and the degree of, in following that those truths have. It's not what, you know, Jesus taught. And at the very end, not many were following him. And there was a reason. Because he was telling things that people didn't like to hear. You know, to one point to say, you too are going to leave me to the disciples? You know, but we think that, you know, if there are not following things and big masses and big renewal, you know, then that does not, that is God. I'm sorry, that's not what the Word says. The Word says the opposite. That the flesh doesn't like to hear, so that they're going to be following not the truth, but the things that their flesh like. This is going to be another topic for another day, but I want you to understand, okay, that we have to recognize when the Holy Spirit is speaking and when something else is happening. Okay, one of the things in the following verse, okay, says, no, just in that verse yet, you know, but whenever he hears he speak, he will tell you things to come. And this doesn't mean that he's going to tell you about that you don't need to know what's going on in the world. He's going to tell you things to come concerning yourself, things that you had to understand, things that you had to correct, things that you had to grow into, things that you had to start grasping so that you can apply the Word to your life. His job is not to make you a prophet. His job is to make you somebody to follow and walk with God. Because that is the key for anything else. Okay? So we have to understand that. Okay? And he will tell you things to come that you had to change, that you had to grow into, that you had to understand to be able to follow him and obey him. How do we recognize when he's actually talking? The following verse, John 16:14, says, he will glorify me. What means he will glorify Jesus, not himself, not you. He's not going to make you feel important. He's not going to make Jesus feel important. If make you feel important, what is done today? What is happening is actually that you are going to be affected in your pride, instead of really affecting and humbling yourself before God's word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, that you can see right away. The emphasis is changed from giving glory to Him to giving glory to ourselves, to make you feel good. Now, if you do the right thing, you're going to feel good because you're going to have peace inside and you're going to have, but it's not that, you know, you are going to feel so important. Praise the Lord. That's what's going to make the difference, okay? To glorify me, He will take what is mine, the way Jesus functioned and operated, and declare it to you so that you understand how Jesus operated, the way His ministry worked, what He wanted for us to understand and receive. You see, He's going to lift up Jesus, no other things. That was His job in us. Because it's the intention and the plan for God is for us to be transformed more and more like Him. Praise the Lord. And He says, you know, and He will declare, you know, declare it to you. Declare, there is anangelo, which actually means to announce, to declare, to teach you the way God operated in Jesus. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is going to glorify Jesus. That's very clear. Okay? And the only way for that is the way to learn the way He operated and functioned. Learn from Him. Understand. Okay? This involves spiritual wisdom and revelation. Because those are not things that are natural to the natural man. Okay, this is where we had to acquire understanding and the ability to connect with the spiritual dimension the way Jesus did, the way He was connecting with the Father. Because when we connect with Jesus, we are connected with the Father. See, the following verse says, all things that the Father has are mine. See, He became man like we, human like us, so that we can connect the same way as He did with the Father, showing us what to do. Because He's our example. And He came to show us the Father, because we ourselves cannot do that. It's only through Him that we can. Praise the Lord. So the better we understand Him, the better we understand the way He functioned and operated, the way we understand His attitude and His actions and His intentions, the better we are going to be able to connect with the Father, because what He showed us, it was what the Father is like. Okay. It says, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say, He will take what is mine and declare it to you. We cannot connect with God if we do not understand the way Jesus functioned and operated. The way His attitude, His position, His relationship. Okay. And that was going to make all the difference in our walk, because we had to learn to walk like He walked. Praise the Lord. In John chapter 5, verse 23. Said that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Hallelujah. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. See, our connection with God is determined by our connection with Jesus. And this is really possibly one of the most critical idea, critical thought that we have to have in as we are trying to connect with God. He is the way to the Father. He is the way to the truth. He is the way to have eternal life inside ourselves. And we cannot get it any other way. We cannot go to the Father without going through Jesus. Praise the Lord. I mean, he was saying here something that, you know, I can see how the Pharisees who say, oh my goodness, you know, who do you think he is? Well, he was God. And that's the problem with people who don't understand that. Anyway, in the same chapter in verse 10, John 15 says, you know, how do we abide in Jesus and the Father's love? And it says very clearly, if you keep my commandment, you will be able to love my, you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. You see, obeying his commandment is not being legalistic. If you do it just legalistically, you don't get anywhere. Okay? It's the fact that you love him, and that's why you do the what he said you should do, because you know that this is the only way to get anywhere with God. See? It's not just theory. It's not just faith. Oh, I believe in God. I believe in that. No. It's a question of obedience that makes a difference. God, and you repeated it many times, you know, I want obedience, not sacrifice. What does it mean that? It's not your sacrifice. It's the sacrifice he was talking about, or the fact that they were going through the religious ceremony of killing, you know, animals and, you know, doing things and thinking that they were doing something. What he cares is for them to be obedient to what they should have been known doing. Are you following what I'm saying? This is important to understand, because we can get so theoretical and so, you know, that we are talking about stuff that don't understand what we are talking about. Praise the Lord. See, you keep my commandment, you abide in my love. John 15:10. You abide in my love just as I have kept my commandment and abide in his love, the Father's love. The commandment are nothing else. You know, Jesus wasn't coming out with the Ten Commandments or stuff like that. He was giving instruction. He was giving precept. He was giving teaching and principle, directions. Okay? And this is why, you know, often in parables, which are really not connected specifically. You do this and do the other, it shows something that you had to pull out the information from there, what is right and what it means and how to apply. Because, you know, what comes to the bottom of the whole thing, the bottom line is what you do with the things you know. It's not the theory that you can talk about. It's how you apply the word that makes a difference. Praise the Lord. You know, one of the things that Paul did, okay, how did he pray? How did Paul pray for the people he brought to the Lord? We can see it in two places. They were essentially say the same prayer, you know, for Ephesians and the Colossians, okay? Really, the way he prayed shows what was giving importance to. He wasn't praying, Lord, you know, make them prosper and be rich and buy aeroplanes or whatever they had there. camels or, you know, whatever. Or didn't pray, you know, fix them all up so that they can be perfect. They think they are perfect or whatever. Okay, no. He said, for this reason, you know, he prayed very clearly. And he prayed this exactly the same thing for both Colossians and Ephesians. You know, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, for this reason we also, since we the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. For what? And to ask that you may do be what? Be filled with knowledge of his will. Okay, to know what the will of God is for them. Okay? In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, you cannot know God's will if you don't have wisdom and spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. You need to understand things to know. It's not just something that is, you know, something you read some places. See, God has a specific things for you right now, what the will of God is to work on. And this is what the Holy Spirit job is to do, is to show you what the will of God is for you at this moment. Not tomorrow, not in 10 years. Right now, there are things that you have to deal with. And those are the important things, because if you don't know those, there is nothing else that comes after. See, God has an exact, specific plan for you to develop you and to make you grow in the person he wants you to be. Okay, he doesn't want you to stay the same way. You know, it's good what you got there, but, you know, there is more. And there is going to be more until you go to with him. Okay, never ends the thing. He's just want to see change, want you to grow, want you to connect with him, want you to be able to know more and be more like Jesus. So that's what he's going to do, working on you. He's going to give you wisdom and spiritual understanding so that you can know the will of God in your life now. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. That's going to happen as you connect with the Word. And the Word and the Holy Spirit quicken the Word in the area that you need to understand and you need to apply that you couldn't apply before because you didn't understand it. Okay. And then it goes on, the following verse, okay, to have, I'll go back here a moment, you know, filled with all the knowledge, okay, of his will in wisdom and understanding, okay? So, that is what the Holy Spirit does. What the result of the knowledge is. Colossians 1:10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. See, that is his desire. That is what God is trying to do with us. That we may walk worthy. You know, and that thing is, with time, changes. I mean, as soon as you're born again, you don't know too much. You are like a baby. The only thing you need is somebody to look after you and to help you along. Okay? But in 10 years after that, God wants you to do grown up, to develop, to have change, to have information, to have wisdom and understanding on the things he wants you to do. And if you don't change, if you are static, you are not alive, you're dead. Life means continuous growth and change. Okay? So, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Doesn't stop there. Fully pleasing him. So, you know, are we pleasing God the way we walk? That's the question we have to ask all the time. Or there are things that we have to change in our own walk. Okay. Being fruitful in every good work. Doesn't say that, you know, just go around praising the Lord and thinking that's all the story. No, he's talking about being fruitful in all good works. He's talking about actually doing things. for God. Okay. Increasing in the knowledge of God. There you see, talking, going back about the knowledge. See, our knowledge of God cannot be static. We have to grow into the understanding. God wants us to grow in the understanding of His will for us so that we may do it. We may participate in what He wants. Otherwise, we can't. Hallelujah. So, fully pleasing to Him. Being fruitful in every good work, increasing in knowledge of God. It doesn't stop there. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. So you see, he's talking about the power of God is going to be on us, in which we are strengthened in our position, in our following Him, in being able to do the things that He wants us to do. Okay? And doing that, okay, His glorious power. He's talking about their spiritual thing here. Okay. For all patience and long-suffering with joy. And there he says, you know, here before there were all these things that are actually spiritual things that have to do with things we actually do. But here he's talking about things that are not something we do, it's something we are. He's talking about fruit of the Spirit that are manifested in us as we grow into this understanding and we are aligning ourselves with God, in which are going to be manifested by patience. You know, we all want to do things before yesterday. Okay, but that's not the way God works. You know, He's working bit a bit at the time, okay, with patience and long suffering. That means, you know, we are going to, not, we are not there the way the children of Israel did when they were in the desert. They were complaining all the time about the things that they wanted. Here he's not saying that, you know, we are going to be complaining. We are going to be patient. We are going to wait on the Lord, allow the Lord to do the work in His own time, not our time. Okay. Long-suffering and with joy. See, if there is no joy, well, there is sourness or being, you know, being in an attitude that is negative about what's going on. When instead, you know, if God is working with us, we should have joy. Our experience should be joy of the Lord is our strength. That's where the strength is released. Why? Because our attitude is aligning with what God is doing. Instead of going our own pace, on our own ideas, or our own choices, it's going to be His choices, His pace, His progression, the way He wants it. And we just feel good about it. Praise the Lord. Okay. We cannot walk worthy of the Lord in any other way. We have to be pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of Him. And it's not just mentally supernatural. We are strengthened with spiritual power, the spiritual power to stand against all the circumstances, all the situations in your life that may be negative or positive, it doesn't matter. And the fruit of the Spirit are evident in our life. See, you cannot make those up. You can make up anything else. You can talk about the gift of the Spirit and people make them up all the time. But you cannot make up the fruit of the Spirit. Either they are there or they aren't there. They cannot be fake gift, fruit. But you can have fake fruit, gift. Okay. And then, you know, talking about the joy, the following verse, Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saint in the light. So you see, the idea is that your attitude is the one of being thankful to God. That has made you what? Be special? Doesn't say that. That has made you partaker of the inheritance that is there that we have only partially received. Our inheritance is much more than what we have today, and hopefully is going to be much more than what it is now. Okay? So, praise the Lord. So he's not boasting of how powerful we are, or how that we have, there says, you know, that you have increasing the knowledge of God, and I'm so good, and I'm so clever, and I'm so smart, or whatever, spiritual, you know, that we are, are what is we're talking about here, is qualified, being thanks to the Father that has qualified us to be partakers. Okay. On the inheritance of the saint in the light. Okay. It's qualified. This is our understanding, our inheritance. And we have only received part of our inheritance. We had to receive, have only received in advance. But there is much more there. And not only that, but there is also more than that. Following verse, Corinthians 1:13. And he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son in his love. So you see, those are the things that are actually the evidence of our change. Okay, that we have been delivered by the power of darkness. Now, what does it mean to be delivered by the power of darkness? It means that we are not anymore bound by the power of darkness. And this is, we can expand quite a bit on that. But the idea is that we before didn't see things. Darkness is what we don't see. Okay? We now start to be able to see things in the spiritual dimension and know that we are not bound by them anymore. Okay? The power of darkness is the power blinding our eyes from the truth. Okay. The fact that we don't see the truth about spiritual things. And this is the problem with the people, okay, that are blinded spiritually. And we are all blinded spiritually to start with when we don't know the Lord, but with the more we know the Lord and the more our eyes have been opened. You know, we just sang today, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Okay? The idea is to be able to see really the truth about different things. Okay? Because the people that don't have that, how do you have that vision? How do you have that ability to see? Not mentally. It's not educationally. It's by the spirit of wisdom and revelation that God, only the Holy Spirit gives us. So it's our union and communion with the Holy Spirit that enables us to be able to perceive these things that otherwise are darkness. Okay? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 talks about, how we receive the deliverance of and the sight and the effect that God wants to do on us. It says there, 2 Corinthians 4:3, for even if the gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. You see, the fact that they don't see it, that's the problem. This is why the gospel is veiled. That's why there is darkness. That's why there is not understanding. Okay. Was mine the God of this age, chapter 4, verse 4, 2 Corinthians, okay, was mine the God of this age as blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So the idea is the fact that we had to be able to see things that the enemy tries to hide from us. Okay. And the only way that we are going to get that understanding is not by studying things in the world, is not even by trying to understand even what the Word says, is by the Holy Spirit opening the Word to us so that we can see what is there, because it's a spiritual thing, and spiritual things are not received by the mind. The natural mind has to be spiritually discerned. So, what he's saying here, the Satan is the God of the world because, they are perishing. On the people that are perishing, they believe the lies that is spread around, that are not true, okay? Because they do not understand the gospel. The darkness is the nothing else than the blindness to the truth. And you, when you are blind and you don't see it, you don't know what you're missing. You don't know that you are bound. You think that's the normal way to be. But that's not the case. Okay? The Holy Spirit's job is to open your eyes, to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you can see the things that you didn't see before. Those are the things to come. They were talking about, you know, they're going to come to you and show you the things to come. What are the things to come? The things that you were blind before. Praise the Lord. Okay. How the Holy Spirit brings you to the light to see. In John 16:8 says, and when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, in judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. So you start to see these things that before you didn't see. Okay? You can see the people that don't see, in their logic, they justify themselves for the things they do. Well, that makes sense. You know, this is the things that they do because it's the best thing that I know. But that's not the truth, okay? This is just the way they think. The way God comes to you and talk to you and show you the truth that you had to follow, you start seeing that some of the things they were doing before, they didn't make any sense spiritually. It sounded good from the world point of view, but they weren't good from the spiritual point of view or God's point of view. And so they start to show you those things. And as you listen to the Holy Spirit is going to point that out to you. So things that you should address in your life, things that you have to change in our life that you believe were right, but they weren't right. Praise the Lord. That's what the light is. The light is seeing, okay, the things we are convicted by, knowing what to do about them. The Holy Spirit revealed this to us. Okay, for example, the sins that are still in our life, the things, so sin is nothing else than something that does not align with God's principle. Anything that does not align with God is, you know, you may know it or not know it, but it's just your blindness that doesn't allow you to see it because you just, that's what you have learned before. So that job of the Holy Spirit is to open your eyes so that you can see that's wrong, don't do it anymore. And so at that time, only at that time, you are called to make a decision. And the decision you couldn't do before because you didn't see it. But now you see it, and you are called to decide to align yourself with God or not. And that process should continue all the days of your life. See, repentance is not something you do the first time you come to the Lord. That's the beginning. And people don't understand that. They're never going to grow. They're going to just rot into their ideas of religious idea instead of growing up like the Lord wants them to. Are you following me? I know that not some people don't say those things, but that is the truth. That is what the Word says. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Otherwise, you know, the Lord deals with you like a good father with a child that is give life. When you are 2 years old and you are a mess around the house running all over, making a mess. You know, he's trying to correct you, but you accept some of the things you are doing because you are 2 years old. But if you are 20 years old and you do the same thing, you should do something. Because the physical growth and the spiritual growth are parallel. All things are parallel. Okay, those are things that are, you know, happening the same way. As you grow, God starts to tie up some screws on you and expect more than he expected before. And if you don't do anything, he's not going to be pleased. Because he is sending the Holy Spirit to do the work and you are refusing to listen to it. Praise the Lord. Okay, so here. How does that happen then? As he asks, okay, we, the Holy Spirit, deal with us. Okay. In continuing on Colossians now, which again, chapter 1, verse 14, says, in whom we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You see, so he's saying, that, you know, we can see, as we can see the light of the gospel, we are delivered from the bondage, okay? We receive the redemption, and our sins have been paid for, and we have been forgiven of our sins. We receive freedom from the curse of the law, even in chapter 3 of Genesis, okay? Because we are aligning ourselves, believing of what Jesus has done, that is what set us free from that. Okay? And so, you know, what we do? We have received the sin. We are received, we are forgiven of sin, and we are, you know, changed. Is that all happening in one event, in one situation? Absolutely not. Okay? Colossians 1:30 says, but in him who are in Christ, who become for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. See, the idea that what happens to us is that we don't have all those things at the same time. Righteousness is really good standing with God. The only thing we can be good standing with God is the things that we consciously do that are in alignment with what God says. But since we don't know all the things that God wants us to do, we cannot be in complete alignment. Hello? So the implication of that is that that alignment is going to change. As we are going to grow, it's going to be demanding more, and if we want to keep our righteousness, a good standing before him, we have to align ourselves with the new things that he has shown to us when he's shown it to us what the Holy Spirit has done. Otherwise, we're stuck and we are not anymore in good standing because we are not doing the things that we know we should be doing. Hello? Are you still there? You can see what I'm saying? Okay, so the redemption that you had before is starting to come short of our position. And it's up to us to keep up with it, okay? And so what happens is that this process goes on, you know, is, you know, the wisdom of God is manifested within righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So all the different things, you know, sanctification, you're supposed to grow in sanctification, become more and more like God, become and more of some of the things that you didn't know are cleansed and changed and transformed by the fact that you are starting to align up in new things that God is telling you. Hallelujah. So this is not a one-time event. It's ongoing things. Okay? And continuing the following verses, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. He says, oh, I God, I'm arrived. I said, no, you're not arrived. You are never going to be arrived. You're going to be arrived when you go up there with him. That's when the time you are going to be arrived. See, that means you have finished your opportunity to grow in Him. And that's why you have to try to do as much as possible today so that you are doing what? Pleasing Him. This is what we are doing because this is the plan that He has for us, to please Him, okay? So, you know, we glory not in ourselves, but we glory in the glory of the Lord that is transforming and empowering us by obedience to, from obedience to obedience, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. There is nothing else than the manifestation of God's power cleansing us and changing us and making us more like Jesus. Hallelujah. See, God is light. That's what 1 John says. And what God is light implies that God enables us to see darkness and to make decisions so that we get out of darkness and enter into the kingdom of His Son. Okay? But this, that entering to us depends on decisions we made item by item, revelation by revelation, that the Holy Spirit give us wisdom by wisdom, decision by decision. And that decision come by believing God's word and applying to ourselves as it's revealed to us. Hallelujah. It's not something that happens the first time that you come to the Lord or after you get a breakthrough. This is exciting, it's good, and it's keep going. If you have life, life means change. There is no life without change. If you are static, you know, even physically, if you don't do anything, your muscles and your bones are going to become weaker and weaker. Finally, you're going to die. Don't do anything, you are on the way to death. You keep working physically, you keep applying yourself, your muscles are going to be keeping stronger no matter if you are 80. You are going to be able to keep doing things that otherwise, you know, if you stop doing, are going to atrophy. You can atrophy spiritually more quickly than your body. So we had to learn to respond to the Holy Spirit that is doing a work in us. Praise the Lord. God is light. Understand that. And this is the beginning, you know, in 1 John chapter 1, and we are going to close with that because we have reached the time here that we had to close. But, you know, in John chapter 1, verse 5 says, this is the message we have heard from the beginning and declared to you. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Now, there is darkness in us because we don't know everything. Okay. But it's not darkness, you know, that's not a problem. God knows that, and He's not upset about that. God has prepared everything so that we can grow, and we can be more and more into His light, so that He can bless us in all the way He wants to bless us. But He's not going to bless darkness. God has nothing to do with darkness. And where there is darkness, He cannot reach. Because He's not open to the truth. God is truth. God is light. He brings light to set people free. He brings light to give us the changes, the empowerment to be able to do the things that are pleasing Him. This is where, you know, the grace of God is not licensed to sin. Grace of God is empowerment to overcome sin. That's what grace is. It's empowerment. It's the power of God enables you to do things that you cannot do yourself. In overcoming the forces of darkness, the wrong thought, the wrong ideas, the wrong habits, the wrong thing that are operating in you because you didn't know any better. God knows that. cannot blame you for that. He knows that you are just flesh. Okay, so he deals with you according to his glory, and he gives you his glory. So you don't glory in, you know, you glories, glories in the Lord. The fact that the transformation power, the ability, the victory, the changes that he's brought about, that you know you haven't changed yourself, but he has changed you to overcome, is the power of God, is the glory of God manifested in you. And you have nothing to boast about, because it's not by your power or by your works. But what the works you can do is because of his glory in you. And with that, we are closing for today. Do you get anything today? Okay. You know, there is much more that we can, you know, appropriate from God's plan for us. We have to understand God's plan and understand the way he is going to manifest it in us. And the transformation and the manifestation of his glory in us. Okay. And that one is going to make all, is going to please him, and what is going to bless you. Because that, when you do that, you're going to be blessed. That's the way to get actually God's blessings. And we are going to see more on that. And we're going to close in prayer now. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your plan to transform us and empower us to become more and more like Jesus. Thank you that you understand how we are and how we need your power, your direction, and your helper to be able to be transformed and empowered by you, your glory. And we rejoice in you, and we praise you, and we thank you, Lord, for everything, because we know that in ourselves we can do nothing, but in you all things are possible. And you can empower us as your children to grow in sonship, in your power, in your glory, and your holiness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God.